Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Wondering if you have a button pusher in your life. Have you ever thought about what's the wiring like inside their brain? We'll talk about that with Dr. John Townsend and also with Dr. David Stoop. He's the author of For Making Peace with Your Father right here on New Life Live today. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. Welcome to a special edition of New Life Live. This is Classic Friday, and all of our calls have already been taken and answered many, many months or years ago. We brought back some of the best. So welcome to New Life Live on Classic Friday.
I do enjoy your program, and I listen to you every day.
It must be such a burden to be such a handsome devil like you are and have these women just flocking all over you like that.
I feel like I am completely failing my husband and completely failing everybody around me who knows me.
If you have put your trust in Jesus' death, there's really nothing that can separate you from him.
It's kind of the Barney the Dinosaur standard for lasting relationships. I love you, you love me.
Just right. That simple. I know it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. David Stoop and Dr. John Townsend. And your phone calls today. Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Hey.
Good to be with you again. Always enjoy doing the program with you because there's so much wisdom in these two people. And you've told us that with your emails and your letters, and we know you love Dave and John. And
I thought you said we told you that.
I don't know. I don't know what I said. I rarely know what I said. All right. Hey, John's got a new book.
Steve kind of, he represents all of us, I think.
Yeah.
You better not say that.
Undifferentiated ego mass there, yeah.
Yeah, it's like we are the world. Steve is the world. I can go there.
Are you saying that I'm like Michael Jackson?
No, I didn't.
Why did I think of Michael Jackson on We Are the World?
Because he wrote that song.
That's right. He wrote it. Okay, hey.
No, I meant that you identify with so many people and you bring their concerns to the show.
Thank you. I represent all of the sins of all the people. Hey, John, in your book, Who's Pushing Your Buttons, you talk about the hardwiring of a button pusher. They're a little bit different than other people.
They're a little bit different. Yeah, I mean, when I wrote the book, Steve, I was talking not about people who have difficulty, because that's everybody. Some of us are controlling, some of us are irresponsible, some of us are, you know, withdrawal love or whatever. But it was people who have those issues and then have, and here's the kicker, they're hardwired differently because they have either an absent ownership of the issue or low ownership.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think it's them, and if it's them, it doesn't matter, and it's mainly you, or why are you so concerned, or you're overreacting, or you provoke them. And so the people that are most concerned about the problems they cause are other people around them, not them. That's what creates a button pusher. Because then there's no hope at that point. You try to solve the problem of somebody be controlling, or somebody being an addict, or somebody being a rageaholic or irresponsible, won't grow up. And they think, I'm just going to wait you out. And the hardwiring is, let me get away from this person that's mad at me, and then I'll go back to life as normal. And that's the real problem.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like the button pusher has just kind of one way of getting their way or trying to move forward with their life. And all those around them are the ones that pay the price for that limited resource that they have.
Right. And what happens is then, if you are with one, generally speaking, you can't leave that person. See, a button pusher isn't the checker at the grocery store. It's somebody you're probably married to or dating seriously, or I mean, your family or work. So you're connected to them by blood or love or money, and you can't easily just say, I'm going to cut and run. This is somebody that I'm invested in. I've got lots of time and energy and love in. So whatever they're doing that's driving you crazy, you just can't say it's over. And that's what causes the problem.
You know, sometimes the checker is a button pusher.
If you're...
Because you know, one night
have
I was
a checker,
in there,
here comes
one
checker
night
story.
I was in there and I got chocolate ice cream, Hershey's, and Oreo cookies. Looked at me and said, "Depressed, are we?"
Yeah. That's when you go someplace else.
That's
next
right.
Time to shop.
Hey. And you say, "Not till you said that."
No, I said, "Hey, I am a counselor on radio." All right. When we come back, we're going to go to your phone calls, and we are grateful for you listening to us today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, you can find out. You can get free tips, 6 ground rules for better relationships there. And our resource, The One. It's a field guide to relationships that last by Dr. Willard Harley. And we'll be back after this.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, editor of the Life Recovery Bible with Dr. Dave Stoop. Did you know we're about to sell the 2.5 millionth copy of the Life Recovery Bible? And so we're going to have our first annual Life Recovery Conference right there in Southern California at Mariners Church on October the 1st from 9 to 5. It's going to be a day packed with 12-step wisdom, Christian 12-step recovery principles. It's going to be a great day. Come join us October the 1st, 9 to 5, Mariners Church. Call us right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and be part of the first annual Life Recovery Conference.
For more information or to register for the Life Recovery Conference at Mariners Church on October 1st, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to liferecoverygroups.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433 or liferecoverygroups.com. Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. David Stoop and your phone calls. And let's go to, why don't we go to the phones?
Yeah, maybe we ought to go to the phones.
Maybe we
what
should.
What are those red lights on that phone blinking about? I don't
know. Let's see.
I thought it was kind of just a pattern we could look at.
Let's go to Bess. Bess, how you doing?
Hi.
Stu's ignoring us.
Welcome to New Life Live.
Thank you, and thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Well, I'm looking to you guys to be a tiebreaker. Our 17-year-old son and I have agreed, and his father have agreed, that whatever your answer is what we will abide by.
Okay.
No pressure.
Okay. Oh, okay.
But there's three of us.
Yes.
Let's see. Then it could still end up a tie.
No, not with three.
You're right.
There's her husband, the 17-year-old, us three.
Oh, that's six.
You can have a split.
Well, but he's going to go by the three of us, so that has to be.
If we agree.
Only if we agree.
Uh-oh. Okay. I hadn't anticipated that.
Yeah, we got a problem, Bess.
Okay. Our son was completing his junior year in high school, coming down the home stretch. May stopped doing a lot of his assignments, did not take three of his final exams. As a result, he ended up with five Fs for the second semester.
Oh.
And we said, oh, my goodness, you know, we don't know if you should be going on a trip. That's a privilege to go on a trip. And his praise band from church is going to travel to a different state to play for a weekend spiritual retreat for teens.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know if he should be allowed to go or not, is the dilemma.
Well,
and, of course, we're praying about it.
Okay, so what do you does he attribute to his failure, his change in habits and the deterioration of his grades?
What does he attribute? He says he doesn't know. In
what
fact,
do you, what
he
do
asked
you?
If he could see a counselor.
Oh, really?
And I called New Life resource number, and he started with a counselor last week.
Well, that's a good thing.
Wow.
It is.
What have you noticed, Bess, as a mom, that, I mean, you saw him during the last few months of his semester or quarter. What did you notice? It was a difference in his study habits or his life or his relationships?
Actually, he's here. Would you want him to tell you?
No.
No.
No. Okay.
Certainly at some point, but we're talking to a mom whose stewardship is her son, who observes that son as part of her job. So we want to find out what mom saw, any changes in the boy's life during the period the drapes are dropping.
Well, there were changes, and there was a breakup with a girlfriend.
Okay.
And I guess I hadn't anticipated going into those kinds of issues. Maybe he did not anticipate that either when he agreed for me to be calling.
Well, now, why would you not think that when you're asking a really important question, and we don't know if he dropped it because he's flaky or depressed or, you know, or because he doesn't see value in this stuff or because he's mad at you? There's a million. And see, whether he knows, goes on this band trip, it all determines, is this because of something beyond him where he's hurt or because of some, you know, attitude problem. So
it's
a very important question.
Well, I understand it's very important. I think it's difficult for me as a parent to know what the mental process is inside.
We're not asking
and
you
as
that.
Far as my
we're not asking you that.
Right.
Just what did you see?
What else did you see?
I did not see any difference at all.
Other than that?
Another thing that does come into play is that his father told him last year when the school year started, your insurance is paid up for 6 months for you to drive, and I'm offering you basically a gift that if you get a 3.0 or above for, you know, in your schoolwork up until when the insurance is due again, I will pay for it, no questions asked. And so, in fact, during that time, his grades actually came down because when he got a license a year ago...
Have you noticed any attitude problems or attitude changes?
No attitude problems that I can see at all. I know that sounds mysterious.
No, it just shows us we do have to talk to him.
but let me ask another question.
Yes.
What's his dad's involvement?
Well, he's in the home. Mm-hmm. He's supportive, wanting our son to do well.
What's his connection like with him? The connection.
It's hard to say. I mean, it would be difficult for me to judge something like that. I would say it's probably average. Is there such a thing?
Bess, you know, there's sort of a lack of information here. I don't know what it's about, but I would expect
I think the lack of information is about my trying to be protective. I don't want to speak for my son.
Okay, because you don't know really about him, and you don't know about the dad connection with him. And so there's stuff that you know about that you don't feel comfortable saying. Is that better?
Could I just have Michael talk to you?
Well, could you answer my question?
Is there something that I'm saying?
No. Are there things that you know that you don't feel comfortable saying because it might be out of place?
Having to do with his demeanor, his attitude, what I'm observing of him, is there any difference?
And the relationship.
Honestly, I can see nothing.
Okay. All right.
I just know that there's been the breakup with a girl, and then as a result of his not doing the schoolwork and getting a 3.0, then he didn't have insurance, so he wasn't able to drive.
Before we get to him, just tell us in a thumbnail sketch what kind of kid is he?
He's awesome. His teachers say that he's probably one of their favorite kids in the classroom. He's always attentive in the classroom. He adds to the class discussion because what he says has relevance, and he's not a goof-off that's trying to be silly. And
how's the relationship at home? Is he, you know, get along with everybody at home and all that?
He does.
Okay. All right. What's his name?
Michael.
Well, let's talk to him.
Let's talk to Michael.
Just a second.
Hello?
Michael?
Yeah.
Hi. This is Steve and Dave and John.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
How are you, buddy?
I'm all right.
You'll never believe it. We were just talking to your mom.
Really?
You can't believe what she said about you.
Okay.
Now, we have been told by your mom that there's this trip coming and that what our advice is what the family's going to do about the trip. Is that true?
Yeah.
Have you agreed to that?
I think so. yeah.
Sometimes we don't know because sometimes parents put words in kids' mouths. It's just part of the deal. We want to make sure that you think this too before we go further.
Okay.
So you do.
Yeah.
Okay. She says that, have you been listening to the show today? This conversation, I mean?
No.
Okay, your mom says that your grades dropped really bad, and so because of the bad grades, there's a question about this out-of-state trip that might be on hold, and we're saying, well, before you decide why that is, you know, why did the grades drop, and we wanted to find out why you think the grades dropped.
Well, I don't know. There were kind of a lot of things that happened. I had a girlfriend for probably a little over a year, almost a year and a half, and we separated. That was really hard on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, for a high school kid, that's forever.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. I don't know. After that, I kind of was really, really numb for about 3 weeks, almost a month, I'd say. Mm. I didn't really do much.
You really cared about her.
Yes, I did.
Mm. Well, you mentioned some other things. Were there other things besides that, or was that...
Well, it kind of led into this big thing, and... I asked my mom if she would get me a counselor. I kind of touched base with him on all this kind of stuff. You know, just kind of like opening up.
What's he say?
Well, most of what happened, he just kind of listened to the whole story. Like, I think this event has kind of led like a big downhill spiral in my life.
Did he use the word depression with you?
He mentioned it.
Mm-hmm. As the possibility that you might be depressed?
Yeah, and yeah. He asked me just different things like that.
Did you feel pressure from the 3.0 standard on your insurance? I mean, your grades? Or is that easy for you?
Having to pay for my own insurance and my own car as a kid is, you know, hard. So, of course, you know, I was more than happy to, you know, take that opportunity and run with it. For some reason, I don't know. I just...
So this is not that you don't want to make the grades. It's not that you're...
No, I do. I really love to.
But you like, just... You're in this numb thing, and you just kind of like... Your brain kind of went away during finals.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds to me like... I assume you're coming back to the counselor, right? Are you going to return and keep working?
Yeah.
You know, by the way... all three of us think you're really pretty awesome for asking your mother to find you a therapist.
Yeah, we do.
A guy your age who is that aware of your internal world and where you hurt, you've got a really good future ahead of you. It's really cool. Very, very good work.
We really affirm that.
Okay.
So are we ready to ask Mom to come back on and then we can vote, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, buddy. Let's get Mom.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay.
Were you in on the conversation, Beth?
I was.
What do you think?
Well, I agree with you. I think it is pretty awesome. And I guess I'm waiting to hear what you would have to say.
Well, I think one of us will say yes, and the other one's going to say no, and the other one's going to say maybe.
All right.
No, not really.
Now,
not really.
First off, was there a covenant of agreement that you've got to have X grades or you don't go in this, or is this after the fact?
No, this is totally after the fact. It's kind of like, you know, I explained to him if my husband and I didn't make our house payment, you know, we'd be on the street and a length of time, and it's kind of like, this is your job right now, this is your world.
No, that's not what I'm asking, is... Like last year, did you say that you're going on this trip?
We didn't know about it, so we couldn't have.
So why would you take it away if there's no violation?
No connection.
Like, in other words, if you never said, by the way, no trip, if no 3.0 or whatever, and all of a sudden he gets bad grades and say, oh, by the way, here's another punishment, would that make sense to you?
It does not make sense if I knew about the trip, but so what you're saying for parents is, well, my... whole posture is not to try to punish him or what I want to do is the right thing in terms of teaching him life lessons.
Okay, let me give you
the electric bill, you've got electricity.
Let me give you a life lesson.
Okay.
If you're working for the right employer and you go through a tough time, that employer gives you a little bit of grace. If you have been a consistent performer, if you're a valued person in that organization, one of the life lessons is, hey, you know what? You just went through a divorce, or hey, you just went through a major health problem. You take the time you need to heal, because we know on the other side of this, you're going to be a great employee again. So that's just as much a reality as getting fired.
Yeah, Bess, I would hope that people would treat you in a way that if you come up with a mortgage someday, before you got evicted, if you had a depression or a back problem or cancer, if some people that loved you would pay your rent or mortgage for that month instead of saying, well, you know, Beth, that's reality, that would be pretty cold.
Let me tell you what the head of pediatrics at UCI Medical Center told me in relation to getting a child to stop athletics to motivate them to make better grades. He said he's never seen one child ever improve one grade because somebody took away athletics. Now, you could apply that same principle here, that this is not going to produce some result of the grades coming back. I think you've got a situational problem. You got a great kid, mm-hmm. went through a tough time, and I think you ought to show him some grace in the situation. Let him go and have a great experience.
And let him heal.
Let him heal. And then, if there was a pattern that developed of irresponsibility
or rebellion or whatever, that's different.
Different situation.
We don't hear that.
And he is doing, he's doing the right thing in going to counseling. And his willingness to not only go, but to initiate says an awful lot about
that. Yes, you're into life lessons. The life lesson then is when I fail because I hurt, people are going to love me and support me. That's a good life lesson.
Mm-hmm. So we're encouraging both you and your husband to examine the connection with him and deepen the connection over this. Walk through this with him.
And bless him on that trip.
You bet. We'll take a break and come back with more of New Life Live right after this.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That number again is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back. Is there something or someone that continues to exert power over your life? Power that overwhelms your best intentions, sabotages your greatest efforts, and frustrates your deepest desires? No formula, set of keys, or steps will help you until you're able to take your life back. The Take Your Life Back workshop is coming to Orange County, California, October 21st through the 23rd. Steve Arterburn will teach you how to take charge of your past and your current circumstances so you can look forward with confidence and faith to the road ahead.
On those days when we experience a setback or feel like a failure, we keep moving forward. And when we fall down, we get back up. If we get back up one more time than we fall down, we are doing all that God has asked us to do.
It's time to take your life back. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Take your life back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
First time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I'll think that's why I do it, because there's just so much out there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. David Stoop and Dr. John Townsend and your phone calls. Let's go back to the calls and let's deal with Bob. Bob's calling from Sarasota, Florida. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, great. Ooh. Thanks for taking my call.
Hold on just a second. Let me try to adjust our system here. We've got a new system.
You've got a pretty hot microphone there, Bob.
Hi, Mike.
Okay, go ahead.
I've been a Christian for 30 years, and about 4 months ago, my wife caught me on the internet looking at porn, and which really was a good thing. And for the last 4 months, I've been doing great. But we're kind of hurting in the sex department, and she had mentioned a thing that she thinks that I just am angry at women in general, based on I hate the head games of, you know, is she in the mood, is she not in the mood, you know, if I don't make an advance on her, if I try to control myself, she thinks that I'm doing something else. But if I do, then, you know, I just feel awkward. Mm-hmm. And We're just real awkward in the bed right now.
This is since you were caught. Was this true before?
Yeah, but I've had issues with that before, and that, you know, and it never clicked with me that maybe I have, because I hate that women have the power over it, you know? I have to have it, and, you know, as she says, that she's never really in the mood.
Uh-huh.
She has to get...
What does have to have it mean?
Well, you know, it's as, at least as I see it, as a guy, and, you know, unfortunately called a sex addict, I feel more motivated towards it. I mean, I still struggle with lust.
Let me understand this. When you say that you're... Are you saying that you think you're a sex addict? I just want to make sure that... Or do you think you're called a sex addict, but
I mean,
you really aren't?
What else is a person that's been doing it all their life, you know, on and off looking at porn, but
well, then
know,
if
the
you
big M is probably...
You, then you work on the have to.
I'm sorry?
Then you resolve the have to, so it's not a have to anymore.
And that gets into why.
Right.
Why the pornography, which is a disconnecting event. And even your sex sounds disconnected. It sounds like it's something that you have to have for yourself to, you know, get relief.
It sounds like you're talking about insulin for diabetes.
Yeah.
And that's not the way sex is.
An injection of an...
She resents that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that... I mean, when we do, it's great. And I mean, I really... I don't know. I get antsy. It seems like certain times of the month where... You know, that I feel like I have to do something about it, and then she'll like give me benevolent sex.
Yeah.
But let's
go with her question or her assumption. Let's try to make a case that you are angry at women and want to be in total control of a woman. In fact, so in control that you like to kind of keep them at a distance through the pornography. What evidence would there be that you are angry at women? Is there anything from your childhood, your relationship with mom, or anything like that that might lead you to say, you know what, if I resolve that, boy, a lot of stuff would get resolved?
Well, that's what I tried to look at that. I mean, my dad left my mom every year. As I grew up, he would have affairs and stuff, and I got into his pornography, and that's where it really started. I loved my mom. We had a great relationship. She was a wonderful mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I don't know where I got it. I this is my second marriage. My first wife, she was one that, whenever she was one too, that said, you know, she could never need to have sex again, but whenever she wanted something, then she'd throw it out there. And
okay, so tell us what you've done to fix the problem. What are some things that you've attempted?
I really haven't, other than trying to be caring to her.
Bob, see, we're talking two different languages here. Let me just clarify what's going on. You're calling because you would like to have, you know, better and more often and more, you know, connected sex with your wife, and yet you have a problem in that you have this sex addiction dependency, and I promise you, you will never have really good, satisfying sex with your wife until you've addressed that, because something in you is broken. And so while we talk to you about it, you keep going back to, well, but, you know, my other wife just threw it at me, and she does. And it doesn't matter who does it and how enthusiastic they are. There's a hunger in you that's not being met this way, and we really want you to do some work on this. And what happens then is that things get better with her. That's kind of the way we would. So you're addressing a symptom, but we want you to go to the real problem. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. Well, how do they do that?
Well, there's Every Man's Battle. That's a great place to start.
Yeah. We do a workshop called the Every Man's Battle Workshop.
Yeah, I heard the advertisement on that.
How'd that make you feel?
But besides so excited that you just couldn't stand sitting in your seat, we can hear
Man.
The excitement there.
Thank you.
Right.
Can't wait
to
get
great. I mean, I have some great guys that have been support to me, too.
Yeah.
I want to address it. I read a couple books on it, and...
Well, let me send you Every Man's Battle. I'm also going to send you Every Man's Marriage, and that's going to show you, you know, where you've probably been trampling on her a bit, and you can save this marriage. But I don't know of anything better for a guy like you than to go to that workshop. I mean, it's what heals marriages when sexual addiction and lust is standing in the way. And sorry, I don't have more time. Got to go to a break. You are listening to New Life Live. We'll be back after this.
We appreciate your faithful support of this program. To give a tax-deductible gift of support or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be right back with New Life Live after this.
We came here as our last resort. We're going to go through counseling. They're going to find her problems, and I'm fine.
The Marriage Solution Weekend is coming to Orange County, California, October 21st through the 23rd.
Obviously, I'm not fine.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and the different ways that we love, and what is it that destroys our love? And how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Artiber.
I'm going to be talking about the seven things that you need to stop right now, the seven things you need to start doing in your marriage, and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
The biggest thing I got out of this is that I got things to work on, too.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Artiburn here with Dr. David Stoop and Dr. John Townsend. Let's go to Cecilia from Smyrna, Tennessee. WENO is the station. Hi there. Welcome to New Life.
Thank you. I hope you gentlemen are having a great day.
We are.
I am, by the grace of God, and a little recovery group in AA and Al-Anon in my local area, a 15-year recovered alcoholic as of last month.
There you go.
Good for you. Have you seen a Life Recovery Bible?
I have it and wouldn't trade it for, I've probably got 10 different versions of Bibles here, and that's the one that I stand on.
Oh, great. Hate to hear that.
Hey, you know what?
Everyday language makes sense when you're talking to people, and it speaks to me in a way. I'm comfortable with King James because that's what I grew up on, but I get much more meaning from reading the Life Recovery Bible. It speaks to me in a way that
you know,
maybe
the two, the two authors of that are here in the studio, David.
Yes, Steve. And I am so grateful for the work you've done and the hope you've opened for doors for so many people in addiction.
Well, I'm going to send you the leather edition. How about that?
Oh, I would love that.
Okay. How could we help you today?
I'm encountering a problem with a handful of ministers in our area that tend to be a bit judgmental about the role that AA and Al-Anon and NA and the other 12-step groups play in a person.
Do they have any alcoholics in their family?
That's my first supposition, is that they don't. Yeah. It's like going to a counselor for sex abuse who's never even been yelled at, you know? when you walk the walk, you know somebody's talking the talk, you know?
Yeah.
I tend to be very, because of the fact that I'm alive today after surviving a 4-3 blood alcohol coma.
Oh, wow. My. Wow.
This is nothing I did. This is God bringing me through to a place where I have a job yet to do. And I may never know what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's not important. It used to drive me nuts because what am I here for? What am I supposed to do? All I know to do is put one foot in front of the other and the best I can with his grace and his leading,
right,
as I let him lead my life. But I tend to get very defensive, and that is not what I want to do, because I think these are people who are in a critical position to help other people who are so shamed from the religious community about being sucked down the tubes with alcohol or hooked on drugs. Or,
have you got a relationship with these guys? Do you dialogue with them? You talk to them? Are they friends? Are they social friends or what?
Not so much social friends. I am a third shifter, so you know what my social life is.
Yeah. Mm.
It's not the soap operas, thank goodness.
Right.
But,
people personally?
Yes, I do. And I appreciate them, and I love the way they teach God's word. But any time they mentioned something about using an outside source, it was AA that got me back to the God of my childhood.
Well, you know what? There is a book that you might want to hand one of these guys.
Okay.
I believe the title is Dr. Bob and the Bible, or Dr. Bob and the Good Book.
Yeah, if you can find
it. Okay.
And it's it was only out.
Is that by Digby?
Yeah, I think so. And you might find it on Amazon.com. But it really does show that the foundation of every step is a biblical principle. Mm-hmm. And I'll even send you an extra Life Recovery Bible, because there we've tried to coordinate the scripture with each step. But many guys are threatened by what they don't understand. And there are so many people in AA who aren't Christians, who haven't acknowledged or gone what we call full recovery, accepting Christ, that they look at that and on the surface they think, well, then maybe that's replacing church for them. But rather than them have the attitude of whatever you're doing to stay sober, you know, I applaud that. The fact that you're still in church certainly is a tribute to AA, that it doesn't take you out of church or take your God
away.
Well,
it brought me back.
Right, exactly.
Because I was too ashamed to walk in the door.
Hey, you know what else? Do they, would these guys appreciate a church, a little church called Saddleback with Rick Warren?
That's what I was thinking about.
Would they have any credibility? Would he have any credibility with these guys?
May very well. I am in a group church now that is a non-denominational evangelical type church.
Have you ever heard of?
And they seem to be open to learning.
Have you ever heard of Saddleback?
No, I haven't.
Second largest church in the country, 20,000-30,000 members.
Wow!
A good Southern Baptist based church with a pastor that's highly respected among all professionals.
Well, have you seen the?
They have a. They
the
have
40
a,
day. What is it? The purpose-driven life.
Purpose-driven life.
Yes. Now I'm working the purpose-driven. The 40-day purpose-driven life.
That's that church.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now let me connect some dots for you.
Okay.
Call that church. It's in Southern California.
Right.
And ask for their Celebrate Recovery ministry, which is a huge ministry that they have that's based on, guess what? The 12 steps, where they do a verse-by-verse analysis of each of the 12 steps and show where the passages are in the Bible, and they send you material. And just ask them, and then Rick Warren thoroughly, thoroughly backs them up.
And they're now in 2,500 churches around the country.
So ask the guys, are you willing to look at some other information of people that you respect and that, you know, are on the same page? And then you don't have to do all the work.
The other thing, too, is to not be intimidated by them and have a conversation with them where you're just saying, you know, I really came back to the church through the 12-step work that I did, which I have really appreciated it bringing me back to my relationship with the Lord, and ask them what are their concerns about that.
Yeah.
And just hear it from
sometimes
them.
Sometimes they just don't have the information.
And you know, when guys preach, I mean, there's a radio preacher in this area that totally believes in counseling, believes people getting help. But when he's preaching, it's an easy shot to poke a jab at psychotherapy or 12-step groups and stuff. But if you sat down with him, he'd say, yeah, well, you know, there are some people that they're just not going to be able to function without getting in a 12-step group.
Right.
So some of them, they go hear other preachers talk, and they copy some of the things they say.
But part of the jargon.
I would try to connect and find out what they really think. And then that gives you an opportunity to let them know that it has been a faith-building process, not something that
your story
right,
is a big
to
part
to me,
of it.
It's, you know, it's that thing about prejudice, which is prejudging before you know the facts.
Well,
I
wouldn't approach it that way.
I want to send them an AA big book and say, "Now look,
no, don't do that. Don't do that."
That's what I want to do.
I know. Just restrain that. Don't go adversarial. They sound like nice guys, but just give them Bible and people that teach Bible that's accurate and sound and it's really balanced, and just say this is another perspective and be a nice guy about it.
Okay. So
may I share one little thing with you?
All right, you may.
My youngest son, when he was 18 years old, walked into my first AA meeting with me, so I wouldn't have to go into a room full of drunks by myself.
Wow.
3.5 years later, he took his own life as a result of bipolar depression, which had been fed through drug and alcohol addiction as an adolescent.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that to this day I've not had a desire to go get drunk over that, and that's been almost 10 years ago, is truly nothing less than a miracle from God.
Amen.
That's right.
Mm.
And, you know, I can only give to my other son and to my grandchild and anyone who's willing to listen and who wants to get sober and stay sober, I can give them an arm and a hand to hold.
Mm.
I know it's possible.
Well, we appreciate your call, and we appreciate you sharing that story. That is wow. Devastating and hope-producing, where you don't let something become an excuse to destroy every area of your life.
Well, but she doesn't want to let those pastors' concerns become an excuse either, because that could set her off. And that was great just to share her own story with them, because that's
wonderful.
An incredible story.
Well, before we go to a break, let me mention that we have 6 ground rules for better relationships. Those are our free tips. If you'd like those, newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Our resource this week, it's by Willard Harley. And it's called The One. It's a field guide to relationships that last. And then if you've got a relationship that you would like to dump because it's a button pusher relationship, John Townsend's written a new book, Who's Pushing Your Buttons?
Don't dump them yet.
Handling the difficult people in your life. If someone's making your life difficult, here's a way to stop letting them control you by pushing the buttons that, as we said earlier, some of them may have been installed by that button pusher. We want to give you relief and hope, and here's a great book for it. It's our gift to you when you support the ministry. And when you support us, you really are providing free counseling for people who may never, ever set foot in a counselor's door. But by listening here, maybe there's something that they can use to apply to their situation that might change their lives. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you want more information about that.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I would just kind of be paralyzed sometimes. I would just stay home. I would kind of sit in a chair and just kind of write or maybe talk to my wife a little bit, but I just wasn't living a fulfilled life. I'm a recovering addict, and so I'm always looking for a quick fix. What Christian counseling has done for me is made me realize it's the journey that's the important thing.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
You don't want to shortchange yourself. Counselors are so good at helping you to see patterns in your life that you've never seen before.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I had a bunch of scriptures memorized that I was repeating myself every day about God's standards of purity, and yet I'd still go and break those standards every single day. It wasn't until I just said, God, I cannot do this. I want to change. I want my life to be different than it is now. It was kind of out of desperation and finally admitting that my own efforts to break the bondage was just not going to be sufficient, that I finally just said, I need to do something. And so I called 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To say that the EMB workshop changed my life is an understatement. You know, now I share with other guys the battle I went through, and they're opening up to me, and it's just spreading now.
If you'd like to know how you can attend an Every Man's Battle workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every day you wait, you're opening yourself up to a deeper pit.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. David Stoop and Dr. John Townsend. Dave is the author of Making Peace with Your Father. John, who's pushing your buttons? That's his new book. John, what's a button pusher? Name one of the difficult people that you've listed in the book there.
Well, basically it's someone who causes difficulty by their attitude or behavior. Secondly, somebody that doesn't think they do. They have low ownership. And the third thing is that you're invested in them. You don't want to leave them. You care about them. They matter to you, so you just can't cut and run. So it's somebody that's causing waves but takes no responsibility for that. And the book's about how to help use the resources that are there to make changes in yourself and both them. There are a lot of things you can do that you probably haven't thought of.
It's like the controlling person who says, you're so controlling.
Yeah.
And then I stop controlling even the little bit that I am controlling.
Right. Because if you say no to me, you're controlling me. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to have freedom around you. That's right. That's the key.
Well, let me take control here and go to Joe in Billings, Montana.
Steve is so controlling, Dave.
Oh, I know.
She listens on XM Satellite Radio. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Welcome to New Life.
Thank you. It's been worth the wait to talk to y'all. I hear y'all advertising about the Lose It for Life, and I'm going to get some information. Y'all don't have that where you can study it by remote control, do you?
You know why we don't?
Why is that?
Because one of the biggest healing factors that we present there and help you experience is the connection, the choice that people make to connect with others.
Ah.
And when you're there, we don't just lecture you, but we put you in groups of other people who are experiencing the same thing.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I'll just have to find out when next year it's going to be and get it planned in my deal.
Do you fly?
Only on the freeway in the 70s. Well, I'll figure out something. I've struggled with my weight since I was 13.
Yeah.
But I'm 53 now, and I'm in really good health except for my blood pressure. I just had some medical tests done, and they tell me that if I get my weight down, I wouldn't even have to take blood pressure pills.
How much do you weigh?
I'm carrying about 120 pounds overweight.
So how much? What's your total weight?
I weigh 270. I'm down from almost 290.
Okay.
Now, I really like who I am. I have come so far with the Lord. I went through a really tough marriage for 30 years that ended 4 years ago, and we were in a lot of counseling. It never did him any good, but it helped me a whole lot.
Yeah.
And this is like the last stronghold I have to overcome, and I've gone through. I mean, I don't wear a doormat across my forehead anymore, and I'm really much better at confrontations. Of course, I'm a middle child, and you know, I'm a peacemaker and all that stuff.
What have you done about the weight?
Huh?
What have you done about the weight so far?
Well, I've gone up and down. I've been in first place, which was a Christian weight loss thing. Lost 60 pounds and then started driving a truck and gained it all back, which was real easy to do because you nibble a lot when you drive.
Sure. But, well, some people do.
Well, and I work real hard now. I've lost that 20 pounds since Christmas by keeping veggies and increasing my fiber and all. I know how to eat right. It's just, it's like I've got this,
okay,
this final thing to get through. It's like a door. I can't find the key for it.
Let me tell you one thing we tell people at Lose It for Life, okay? Is that people that are overweight usually say things like, all I've got to do is just this.
Uh-huh.
Like increase my fiber or reduce my nibbling or something
now,
like that.
Now, with me, it's find out what happened to my self-discipline.
Yeah. But there's usually that statement of all I have to do is. And what we show people is that there is an equation with many variables in it. And it's not just one thing. It's several things that you have to work on together. And, you know, one of those things, I'll send you my new book, Feeding Your Appetites, because there I try to help you look at what is it that's feeding your appetite and how can you resolve that emptiness that's leading you to out-of-control behavior, whether it's weight or sex or money or whatever. But
yeah.
I think that will help you a little bit. But outside of connecting with other people, we tell people if you're not willing to connect with others over this, we have hope for you for short term, but not for long term. It's part of the transformed life that will make a difference. But we'll give you some information on Lose It for Life. And if you can drive a truck, couldn't you drive to New Jersey?
Well, I might be able to get a load up there, but I don't know if they'd let me take a whole week.
You know, we've had people do that. They've driven their truck across the country to come to one of our
meetings. Steve wants you to help you lose a load.
Yeah, really.
Lose
well,
a load
you know,
for
and I've been progressing over the years.
Yeah.
I do know that as a child, my grandmother was the only love of my life because my parents were divorced and we were shuttled from one to the other and all that stuff.
Mm.
And my grandmother, who was always heavyweight, used food for a comfort.
Mm.
And that's my main thing, is food is my comfort.
Yeah.
Of course, I keep trying to tell myself, it doesn't love me. God's the only one who really, truly loves me.
Right.
And that I need to trust him for my comfort. But to tell yourself one thing and then turn around and eat too much.
Well, you know what? The thing is, though, that brain that gets you in trouble is not going to be that brain to get you out of trouble. You have to have a connection with other people. Let me put you on hold here. I'll give you some more information on Lose It for Life. I'll send you Feeding Your Appetites. Hope that will be of help to you. And, you know,
Steve,
guys.
Say that again. About the brain. That was really good.
That was profound.
Well, the sick brain that gets you in trouble is not going to be the brain that gets you out of trouble.
That's so good, because everybody thinks, well, I got this relationship thing or depression thing or eating thing, I'll just stop doing this and think about it differently. But it's the same brain that brought you in trouble.
That's right.
So what we need is a new brain, a transformational experience.
You could say it's the hard heart, the stony heart, that got you in trouble too, and that God is the only one that's going to take out
heart.
That heart or, and replace it.
We chalk one
just
another
full
one
of metaphors.
Chalk it up to Steve again.
If you'd like to join us tomorrow, while they're kind of making more fun of the host, please do tune in. But in the meantime,
he always thinks that adoration is making fun. It was adoration.
Yeah. Free tip: 6 ground
brain.
Rules for better relationships. And as you've witnessed here, John pushing one of my buttons, he's an expert at this. He's written the book, Who's Pushing Your Button? And Dave Stoop, a father figure for me, wrote the book, Making Peace with Your Father, available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com, along with our resource, A Field Guide to Relationships That Last. It's entitled The One by Willard Harley. I think you'll like this book. So you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if we can get that for you. We're in need of your support. We're just closing out the summer here, and we really do need you to come through for us if you can. And when you do, people are able to call our 800 number. There's someone there that cares for you and or someone who is in need. And so you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you can support this ministry or you need a resource. All of that's available by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. John, close us out with some biblical wisdom here.
We talked to a lot of people today, Steve, that had problems of, you know, things that they know they need to and want to do but didn't have the resources or ability. And the Bible talks about that in Psalm 56. It says, "You've delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." And for a lot of us, we walk before God, but we forget about the light part. The light has to do with His information and wisdom and answers. And look for the light of life in your walk with God. Ask Him the way, because He doesn't want to leave you in the darkness. Ask for information.
And when we ask, he responds. That is one of the great things about God. And so many times we're so messed up that we don't even feel God there, but He is there. He is waiting for us. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If we can help you, we'd like to be a link back to you in your relationship with the Lord. My thanks to Dr. David Stoop, Dr. John Townsend, and all of you. We'll see you here tomorrow on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening to this classic program from the Archives of New Life Live. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but we also need you to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. That means we depend on your gifts to stay on the air, which is why your financial help is so important. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again next time for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.